The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kevin. I got jerky in my mouth. Give me a second.
You got jerky. I'm this really could hungry. Be the cold open is you eating jerky.
I'm really hungry.
Well, this is the opening now because I've decided that this will be the opening. Tim is on a secret mission in uncharted space. So we cannot reveal his location or where he is right now, but that's
6:12 in the morning right now.
Well, you just gave away your time zone.
They know I'm on the West Coast.
All right, he's on the West Coast. There you go. The West Coast of what continent, though? That's the next question. but yeah, Tim is away, but we didn't want to miss opportunity to record. Originally, we were like, oh, we can't miss another week of Bad Batch because we missed week two because I had COVID, and I believe Tim was out of town when I had COVID. Then the Acolyte trailer dropped yesterday, so we were like, we definitely cannot miss tomorrow. So Tim is remote, and we will be talking about Acolyte. We're talking about the new episode of Bad Batch. I'm sure you all know what Tim's going to say about that, but we're going to talk about it anyway. And those two will be the dominating topics today. But before we go any further, I would invite you to go to kingscoastcoffee.com and get your spring surge. We warned you about winter waves. I hope you got your winter waves. I got my last two bags of winter waves. Did you get yours? If not, it's time for spring. Spring has sprung, spring surge, all that fun stuff. Make sure you head over to kingscoastcoffee.com, get your spring surge. Oh, I wonder if they got their barrel age too.
I wish I had a cup of King's Coast right now.
You need an AeroPress.
Yeah, I need an AeroPress, and then I have to bring a grinder, and then I'd have to find a way to, boil my water.
Grind it before you leave.
Oh, boy.
AeroPress.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that guy on TikTok that does the bathroom cooking could easily find a makeshift way for you to boil water. Also, you could just boil water in the Keurig.
Ooh, but then they go clean them out.
You can order a cup of hot water from room service.
Oh, that's true. God, that's so bougie. So much work for a cup of coffee.
I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right.
There are ways to get it done.
Don't be like me. Don't miss out on your King's Coast coffee and get on over to kingscoastcoffee.com and get it today.
I'm going to challenge the Star Wars and Scotch viewers to tag us, Star Wars Scotch, Darkness 429, Kevin X Vision, and King's Coast, and let us know how you have your coffee on the go, because I'm curious.
Oh, I like that.
So
it's good.
Tag all of us, King's Coast Coffee. And let us know, how do you have your coffee on the go? Maybe there's easier solutions than the AeroPress that we're not thinking about that Tim could utilize.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Next time.
I do travel.
Yeah. I need a solution for the day -2 of GCX because King's Coast isn't set up yet. And I can't just walk down and get my coffee. So I need that. Speaking of, GCX tickets are on sale.
Is this a segue?
It is because GCX tickets are on sale. The hotel We haven't even released the link to the public. It's just been to VIPs and Premiere. Already almost 30% sold out. So you might, for comparison, last year was around half, if not less, if I remember correctly. So you might want to get your hotel room and your tickets, because it seems like things are getting back to normal.
Yeah, it's exciting.
I know Tim scheduled his meet and greet, which you may hear about which day and time that will be. So maybe other creators have done the same thing. Maybe they're making videos that you're going to see soon about their date. Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. Hopefully, if they do it.
Apparently, most of them were excited to do it. So,
yes. Fantastic.
GCXevent.com. Get your tickets, because I have a feeling this year is going to be wild. I got a DM early this morning from one of our developer publisher friends who is saying, hey, working on the proposal. Hopefully, I have answers for you by the end of this week, according to the budget. So people are moving things around. It's just going to be a fun year. The arcade is coming back, because that's the theme. So the St. Jude booth will be housing most of the arcade, and then retro games will be back. So it's just going to be a fun year. There will be an after party. We haven't revealed where yet, but there will be an after party as well. So GCXevent.com.
It's my hotel room. You can all come have the after party at my hotel room.
That was not a smart thing for you to say. Because your community is going to hear that.
I just want to know that they're listening. You know, I just want to make sure they're paying attention. It's not in my hotel room. Kidding.
It was a test. GCXevent.com. Let's dive into Bad Batch first, because I think there's a lot more to talk about with Acolyte. Say it, Tim. Go ahead.
It was a filler episode.
Till the very end.
Till the very, very, very end. And even then, it was still... but it was fun. I mean, like, it was just a fun episode, and like, I really love the whole Omega and Crosshair relationship starting to like just develop even more. Like, it's definitely like that big brother little sister vibe.
Yep,
I really enjoyed that. Outside of that, it was fun. You know, going on a bounty hunt. You know, this praying mantis looking creature. You know, creepy. But yeah, it was.
His name was I had it right here. Siler Saris.
Yeah, he was the butcher of something.
He was kicking their ass.
Yeah, he was terrifying.
Yeah, did you notice, just like a praying mantis, he was trying to rip Hunter's head off too?
Yes. Yeah.
Which, if I remember correctly from biology, isn't that what the females do to the males when they're mating?
I think it's after they mate.
After they mate? Okay.
But I don't know. I don't know if praying mantis does that. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Pretty sure it's praying mantis.
Some mugs do. Yeah. I mean, like, just like, if anything, this was a nod to The Mandalorian, this whole idea of like bounty hunters going and searching for high end count targets. Like, I was like, oh, shit. This is episode one, season one of The Mandalorian right here. This is how we know that like Grogu had a tracker on him. Like, to a certain degree, is like he had a bounty tracker on him, because they were all like, and it was an old Imperial tracker, remember?
Yep.
And so this kind of like is a nod to all of that, which I thought was cool. You know, a little Easter egg in there. Not like huge, but like we knew the Empire was already doing this. But it was kind of just cool to like, you know, another intersect.
I have the mating answer for you.
Oh boy, here we go.
Males of some mantid species mate more effectively when decapitated. Why? A nerve center in the male's head inhibits mating until a female is clasped. If this nerve is removed, such as when the female bites off the male's head, all control is lost and the result is repeated copulation. Nature is very metal. Very, very metal. That is wild.
So glad I'm not a praying mantis.
Same, dude. Because we'd both be decapitated in sex machines.
Oh, man. That's some like Warhammer level stuff.
Continuing on with that. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a throwback. My biggest question to you is, who's she talking to? I think it's Boba.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think she's working with the Empire, dude.
Boba's too young.
You think Boba's too young?
Isn't he too, like, why would he even care?
M count.
Boba's off. Yeah, but Boba Fett isn't looking for end count.
But he there could be some sort of link to, because we always said Alpha and Omega, Boba and Omega.
You think Boba Fett's looking for Omega?
No.
Why would it all be muffled? I made me feel like she was talking. She was talking directly to an Imperial officer of some sort.
What if Boba is the bounty hunter hired by Hemlock to bring her back?
Trying to think of just like where Boba Fett would be right now.
He's a kid with his gang.
Yeah, I know. That's why I don't think that it would really, why he would care, because he's not like a high priority like bounty hunter right now. Like, he's still trying to like make a name for himself.
So who else would Fennec be talking to? Ahsoka?
No. Oh. No.
Is there a fulcrum? There's no fulcrum yet, right?
No, not yet. No, fulcrum doesn't show up until Rebels. Oh man, maybe she is talking to someone that isn't Imperial. Maybe it is.
It just seems too obvious to talk to someone Imperial, and I have a feeling
it felt really bad.
Well, yes, but I think that was purposeful. I think they're trying to make it be like, oh, Fennec's turning her back on them, and I have a feeling they're gonna whip it around and be like, no, she didn't.
Yeah, I don't know, but she was in The Mandalorian, she was already like a bad. Like, I don't think she's got like this good side to her. So that good side doesn't really show up until she's like with Boba Fett, and Boba Fett saves her life. I don't know. They did a really good job of leaving that veil of mystery.
I don't know. I have a feeling she's doing something good. She's not being the bad guy here. That's my two cents on that. Yeah, I really do.
She definitely fits that anti-hero role.
I think she's going to, I think she wants to be a person whose word is solid. That way it doesn't affect her career.
Mm. That's fair.
Because I think she wants to be trusted because of what she does for a living. Also, the planet that we were joking in DMs was the Star Wars Everglades.
Florida.
I'm probably wrong, but it feels like Nal Hutta. Because Nal Hutta is the Hutt homeworld.
Is their air toxic?
Can't breathe. The air is toxic to most humanoids. It's a swampy land with a yellow mist. I can show you pictures of it from here. I could probably pull it up on my computer real quick. Because you go there in Swotor, it's the starting area for the bounty hunters.
Uh-huh.
And it really, really, really made me think. Let's see, images. Here you go. This is what it looks like in the game. If you can see that on your iPad. And as you can see, that's probably why I was making that correlation. It just seemed, because at first I was like, oh, that looks like Corellia.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it totally looks like it.
Right? And the air is toxic. So at first it looked like Corellia. And then
it was
still industrial, but it was also swampy, which is, you know, where the insurgents are hiding out in the game.
I think that's a fair assumption to make, Kevin. This looks pretty spot on.
That was my initial reaction. It'd be interesting, though, why he would be hiding out in Hutt space. That feels like the least safe place to hide out. If that was the case. Or is it one of those, like, well, he thought that we would think.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's definitely, I don't know, there was a lot of places to hide, though. I mean, like, and there's a lot of just rural areas, like all of the booby traps and stuff that they had out there, like. That was the whole reason why she needed Hunter and Wrecker to come with her, is because she couldn't actually do it.
I mean, they even had gators. She needed
someone who was specialized. Yeah, there was alligators. There was freaking land. There was
landmines. I mean, it's just like the Everglades.
Buoy mines, and yeah, there was all these traps and stuff. It definitely
That's how the swamp people live in the Everglades. Just Chet, we're not exaggerating.
I totally understand why she needed Hunter. You know, why she needed Wrecker. Like, but it was cool. Like, it was like, overall, it was a good episode. But it's just like it didn't have the substance that the last seven episodes had. And I think we all knew that was going
to
happen.
It had.
I think we all knew that we needed kind of like that episode to kind of just like everyone chill out and like just like have some fun, because if you're going 100 miles per hour the entire season, it's going to be overwhelming.
And on top of that too, like, I think we need time for the bond between Omega and Crosshair, because that's what's going to heal him ultimately, in my opinion, or that he's going to sacrifice himself for her.
I think that would make more sense of a sacrifice more than anything else, because he's already broken. You know, like he feels like he's unrepairable, and there's a lot of trauma that he doesn't want to face, and there's definitely gonna be a moment in the next, how many episodes we have left? We've got,
we're halfway home.
We're eight episodes left.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's gonna find peace. You know, he's gonna be able to make that shot. Like, his hand's gonna stop shaking. He's gonna make that shot, but that shot is like, it's, I make this shot or everybody dies, but I'm gonna die. You know, like, it's going to be that sacrificial moment.
It feels like it will almost be the Obi-Wan with Leia falling off the building moment.
Yeah,
the trauma forced him to, or the situation, I should say, forced him to reconnect with the Force.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be a situation where Crosshair has to make the shot.
Yeah.
Or Omega's dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be interested to see how that plays out. Over the court, and I don't think we're seeing it next episode. I think it'll probably be the last few, which Tim and I assume will be some sort of invasion on Mount Tantus once Echo comes back with the confirmed information. Where it's getting to the point where I'm wondering who's making it out of this. I know we have the theory about Tech being a Death Trooper. I have a feeling Crosshair will die, and Omega, Hunter, and Wrecker will walk off into the sunset, and we probably won't see them again. Echo?
Yeah, I don't know if I like that.
I don't know what happens to Echo. I mean, for all we know, the three of them just settle on Pabu, and that's the end of it. Like, they fought hard enough. It's not going to be the ending. I know that, because, you know, they're rebels, and they have to keep fighting. Yeah. So we know what happens to Rex. Someone in the comments also said that, you know, the whole incident with Wolf last week will come back and Wolf will defect, which is how we get to Wolf from Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering who's going to make it out. I really don't think Crosshair's going to make it across the finish line. I think he's going to sacrifice himself, because
I have to agree with you on that one. This episode kind of like solidified that idea that I don't think Crosshair is going to make it out, but honestly, like, I feel like if the Bad Batch, if they survive, it's going to leave open, you know, more plot holes of, like, what happened to them after this? Where did they go? Why didn't we see them in Rebels? And, like, all those other things. So,
yeah,
I'm very curious.
We shall see. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to dive into the meat of today's content that we all know you're dying to talk about, the Acolyte trailer. So we'll be right back, and we'll talk about Acolyte.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we are back, and it is time to talk about Acolyte. Trailer dropped yesterday.
It is.
Lots of goodies in the trailer. Some people like it, some people don't. We'll talk about the big argument on the internet towards the end of this, but let's kind of break down the trailer, go piece by piece. You know, we start with the younglings in the temple, which everyone's obsessed with the one. I forget what race that is, the guy with the hairy face.
Yeah, we've seen him before.
Oh, yeah, we've seen their race. I forget the name of the race. And the internet's obsessed with him. They're putting cigarettes in his mouth and all sorts of other things.
What the hell?
Yeah. They're like, someone was like, can I get a pack of smokes? And it was like, thanks for the stogie. And just, I don't know. The internet's being the internet.
Missed a lot yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been an interesting reception. I feel like most people are excited for it. I really do.
I think so.
I think there's the usual outliers that exist and whatnot, but yeah, so it's been an interesting reception, the back and forth. Lots to talk about on the trailer, but I love that Lee Jung-jae, who was in Squid Games. We knew he was going to be in it. He's the Jedi Master in the beginning. There's also a shot of him with Carrie Ann Moss's character. But they all look younger.
Mm-hmm.
It's towards the end of the trailer, so it looks like there's some sort of flashback in
there.
And
in the forest?
No, it's not that part where all the lightsabers come out and it's been the thing that we've all been dreaming of since we were children. It's at 109. Because in the beginning of the trailer, he has long hair. And in this shot, he's in brown robes instead of white robes. And he's has short hair.
Oh, interesting.
And there's these weird witch. I don't know if they're the witches that are in the trailer or monks standing behind them. There's a bunch of the Jedi, including our new Wookiee friend, who, by the way, I believe Junus Suotamo, who plays Chewie, I believe he's also playing the Wookiee in this.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love that.
Because he's credited for two episodes, and I'm like, oh, is he just the Wookiee guy now?
Yeah. I mean, if you got the build for it, might as well, right?
I don't think he played Black Chrysanthemum, though. I think somebody else played Black Chrysanthemum. Anyway, back to the trailer. So, yeah, so it seems there's some sort of flashback scene, which is good because that shows me they're going to show context to a lot of what, you know, is happening. So the premise seems to be that what we expect from the High Republic. Everything's hunky-dory. Everybody's, you know, smiling. The Jedi are the great thing. Ha ha, we rule. But something sinister is happening behind the scenes, and Jedi are being murdered.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if it's this Mei character, which, by the way, if you Google it, her costuming looks very similar to the original drawings of Darth Maul from when they were making The Phantom Menace before he got his look. The Ian McCreagh.
So glad they didn't go with that look, to be honest.
It's very zombie-esque. It's weird.
I just didn't like it.
But yeah, May's vibe is very much similar to that. So
she's got chainmail on, she's got these like cool red and black dreads.
She seems to be an assassin. I don't want to jump to conclusions. Sure. But in the old Republic, the Sith did have assassins. And they would dress up very similar to that, ninja-esque, kill and leave. So do I think she's a Sith assassin? No, I don't think they're going to like go like everyone's a Sith in this. Do I think there's some link to the dark side there? Probably. We're also introduced to, you know, I had that article up, Tim, and I closed it. The databank one with everyone's names. I got it back now. Mother Anasaya. She is, let me find the number in the trailer that she is, but essentially, this is the description on the Star Wars website databank. Mother Anasaya is the leader of a coven of witches who value their independence and the preservation of their beliefs and powers. To me, that sounds like the Night Sisters.
Night Sisters are like the open hand.
The path of the open hand?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she's the mother, though.
No, she's not. She's not. Not at all. But what I'm saying is, like, what if she is, like, they are a, like, sect of that
problem idea. With that is the path of the open hand was against utilizing the force. If they say they're witches, my assumption is they use the force.
What if they don't use the force?
Then why are they witches?
But we haven't gotten to this side of Star Wars yet. Like, I think there's a difference between like what they like, what the Path of the Open Hand saw as like manipulation of the Force by the Jedi. Like they found it to be unnatural and to be crude. But what if these witches are like, they are conduits? Like they say that it's not them using the Force, it's the Force using them.
Yeah, I mean, she does say this is not about good or bad. This is about power and who is allowed to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's her. That's her line.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to unpack in this trailer. We could sit here for hours and hours and go over it.
I love the fights. I love the whole direction with like the fight styles and whatnot. Like it definitely has that very like Star Wars kung fu vibe. Like I felt like there was parts of like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. I'm like, hell, we've got Trinity in this. You know, she's doing like freaking Matrix moves. So I'm all for it. I'm very excited.
Yeah, yeah. That was a fun little sequence with her and May. And then that she like is doing traditional, but then she pushes her with the Force across the room.
What I love is that this reminds me a lot of the fight styles that you would see a lot of the indie Star Wars filmmakers use, like back in the day before YouTube was even like a really big thing. There used to be Star Wars fan film sites where people would upload their videos and you could go and watch it. And some of the original guys that made those videos ended up working for like ILM, going work for Lucas and Disney. And a lot of them fought like that with the whole like very close quarters, very Matrix style fighting, and then like using a blade and then force pushing and things like that. So it's really cool to see like this new, like I wouldn't say it's a new style, but like this adaptation and something we really haven't seen in like in an official Star Wars show yet, which I really like.
And keep in mind, this is the end of the High Republic, so this is the beginning of its downfall.
Right, we're like 100, it's like 100 years before episode one, I think.
Around 100 years before episode one, which does put Plagueis mm-hmm. on the table to be the Sith or his master, Darth Tenebrae. And we can jump into the controversy. So at the end of the trailer, I'm assuming you've seen it if you're listening to this, when the red lightsaber, you know, gets thrown. First of all, boner champ, because at 1:30, I never thought I would get to see in live action yellow, green, like someone tweeted, did you ever think we'd see a live action scene where blue is the like the least amount of lightsabers in a multiple lightsaber scene? So the yellow lightsabers, as someone who owns one, well, my daughter does. I just take it out and use it every so often. Was really awesome because I'm even in SWTOR, that's my color. So it felt like one of the old Republic animated shorts where all the lightsabers come out. Now, this red lightsaber flies across. They're like, what is that? The way Leslie has had, she's growing on me, by the way. I had no idea she was a huge Heir to the Empire fan. That's what got her into Star Wars.
That's sick.
Yeah. So she's starting to grow on me as I read more interviews. The way she described this was awesome. She said, could you imagine a situation where you hear or see like a beast and you encounter a velociraptor, something that's supposed to have been gone and extinct, and it's just standing in front of you?
Back to the whole people are pissed because of the line, we haven't seen the Jedi in a millennia.
Yes.
Or we haven't seen the Sith in a millennia.
So my rebuttal right off the back was, we haven't seen the Sith in 1,000 years. And I would say, including the one that is running the entire Republic right now that you can't see either. Yeah. So like, are we really going to take this one line and try and turn it on its side to hate all of this new content and the idea mm-hmm. that the Sith never went away? They're just really good at hiding. Oh, well, wouldn't then they have reports to the Sith? Let me tell you a few things. One, I learned in the last book, Dark Disciple, that the Jedi will bend the rules when it works for them. Do you think letting people know that the Sith are still out there is a play for the Jedi Council? Is that the right move to be like, transparency, everyone, the Sith are still here, they've been murdering all these people, whatever it may be? Or let's think of reality, where they'd be like, this is dangerous knowledge, we cannot let people know that the Sith are still out there, we need them to think that the Sith have been extinct for 1,000 years. Now people will rebuttal, because I've seen the argument. They were talking amongst themselves in the Jedi Council. This is 100 years before. Do you think the information was bound, like, constantly updated for the kid? No. What was once, you know, information falls into rumors and myth and eventually goes away. Like, do you think everything you read in a history book is the way it actually happened?
Ooh.
Do you? Like, honestly, not you, Tim, but I'm talking to the people listening. Do you think everything you read in a history book is the way it actually happened? History is dictated by who? The victors. They're not going to let impressionable young Padawans know that there is ancient Sith knowledge out there, potentially ancient Sith, when they're disenfranchised with what's happening. Look at Asajj. Mm-hmm. She was a Jedi. We don't know exactly how she left, but she left at some point and went and found the Sith. I'm assuming...
Speaking of Asajj, real quick, where the hell is she? Why haven't we seen it yet?
I don't know.
Driving me nuts.
They're saving
that. I really
thought
it would be this episode, but anyways.
But I think given a real-world application of that whole scenario, I think that is the dumbest take out of all the takes, is taking one line from the movie about the Sith who was sitting in front of them. There are literally three Sith in the sequels. Four if you include Darth Vader.
But Ki-Adi-Mundi said.
Ki-Adi-Mundi didn't know the Emperor was there. No one knew about Darth Maul. They didn't even believe Qui-Gon when he came back and said he encountered a Sith.
Like, no. You're
no, you didn't.
On the sand.
No.
You were sniffing the spice.
Yeah. Like, that's my point, is deniability over the years, burying information because you don't want Padawans going and looking for power because they're going to get curious. They're going to, like, if you had the information out there, the Sith are still out there and, you know, they're always plotting against us. How many stories do we have of Jedi that are like, I really don't like this lifestyle. I was forced into it as a child. This is not for me, but I have this gift. Let me go see how I can hone this gift.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you that's what's going to happen in this show. That's what's going to happen.
Sure. Yeah.
So whether it's, and also plot point number two, not everyone with a red lightsaber is a Sith.
Right.
Now, do I think this is a Sith? Yes. Because after they catch that lightsaber, which is a human hand, by the way, so I'm not sure on the Plagueis Tenebrae side for that, but we'll continue down that road. When they all charge at him, there's this like kick up of red
force push
and this red mist energy thing that throws them all over the place. If you're tossing Jedi around left and right, yeah, I don't think you're a dark force user at that point. And then people are like, dark Jedi. I'm like, that's a stretch. The dark Jedi one.
Yeah.
Could we get there? Yeah. Sure. But it's a stretch. So my point is this, is if you're going to buy into that whole like, oh, but Ki-Adi-Mundi said, you weren't paying attention to the whole damn point of the movie, which was that he was hiding in plain sight.
Yeah, so the Jedi were pious and they thought that they were infallible and they couldn't do any wrong. And they were so high and mighty on their own shit that they couldn't see what was underneath their nose. And like, that's the whole point. Like, that's constantly what Star Wars keeps going back to, like in the book and then even in the movies and shows, is that there's this constant, like you said, like the people who don't like the lifestyle, they're like, this isn't for me. I want to love. I want to experience all this other stuff that the Jedi tell me that are wrong. But you want me to also embrace all these things, but not at the same time. And there's this continuous struggle amongst Jedi. And so I like that they continue to kind of go down this path of like, hey, like nobody's perfect, you know? And like, it's there's so much flaw to all of this. And I enjoy that. I really like that the Jedi aren't being framed as just being like the superheroes, right? Like they're not, they can't do any wrong. I like that they're fallible and that they are human. Well, not all of them human, but they have like those human like tendencies, right? Like they have those emotions and the struggles that we all feel. So it's far, like Star Wars is becoming far more relatable, I think, like now than it ever has been. And so I'm excited to see like where the direction they go with. And it's going to be dark with Acolyte, and we know it's going to be kind of like a murder mystery. I don't know why people would be pooping on it. Have you looked at the comment section on the trailer?
It depends what platform you're on. So I went and didn't experiment.
Okay,
go ahead.
So on YouTube, the funniest thing for me is I went looking at the comments and most of them are memes about the close your eyes and what do you see. What was close your eyes, what do you see? The Uruks turn northeast. They're taking the hobbits to Isengard. one was close your eyes, what do you see? Youngling, I see fire. Jedi Master, okay, this kid's a lost cause.
That's really
what
funny.
What was this one? Close your eyes, what do you see? I see my mother researching spiders in the Amazon before she died. it's just a bunch of just really silly memes about closing your eyes and what do you see.
Yeah.
So what was your experiment with the other platform?
So I wanted to see how each platform was reacting to the trailer. So Twitter was 50-50. Okay. People, you know, some people liked it, some people didn't, which is fine. Or some, actually, Twitter was more, I love it, or I want to wait and see more, I'm not sold yet, which I appreciate.
They weren't like super divisive.
No, YouTube was very similar. It wasn't too bad. TikTok was a cesspool. A cesspool of hate. I didn't look at Facebook.
So your sample sets were Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.
Yep, and TikTok was a cesspool, Tim.
That's wild to me. Really?
Yes, yes. It was all people just like, this is how Disney ruined Star Wars. I'm like, you ascertain that from a minute and 45 seconds of a trailer?
Oh, no, the diehards have gone off to TikTok.
And also, all they've ever asked for is, can we go to an era that's not the Skywalkers? And obviously everyone still wants the Old Republic, and it'll happen one day. Don't worry. We might be dead, but it'll happen one day.
I hope not.
So my whole thing there is it's just like that's your reaction. It just seems like automatic hate because it's Star Wars, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. these people have no intention of watching it, or they're going to hate it online and watch it privately. And then pretend they hate it online.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my takeaway from it. I was really shocked at TikTok and how negative it was, to be honest.
All right. Not streaming Star Wars Outlaws on TikTok. Got it.
Yeah, it was a thing.
So, like overall though, like, very excited. I was a little bummed to learn that wasn't Bell Zedifar. I was really hoping that the one guy was Bell. The only reason why I keep saying that is because like he's showing up in other pieces, like in the Young Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
There have been multiple episodes now with Bell and Ember.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so cool that Kyler knows who that is, and he hasn't read a single book yet for the High Republic. And so I think that's just it's really cool to see them continue to just cross-contaminate, if you will, with all of these characters and like God, what was his name? Who was Bell's master? He was also there too.
Loden Greyjoy.
Where did Greyjoy come from? Oh, that's from Game of Thrones. Oh my God, I have way too many names in my head. Yeah, Loden Greyjoy was in there, and so it's just like I would love to see more of that. You know, as we continue building out the High Republic, because I don't think we're going to be done with it. Like it's such a rich period in Star Wars now, and it's there's so many interesting things, especially with the like the leveler and things like that. Like I really hope we get to see, like I would love to see like a Markion in live action, you know. Mm-hmm. I would love to see like what would a leveler look like, you know, in live action. So like, I really hope that we continue to play around with the High Republic sandbox and get to see, hopefully if the Acolyte does well and people find this to be interesting, hopefully we'll continue to not go as far as we did in like the second period when we were when we went even farther back.
Phase 2.
Hopefully we don't go that far with Phase 2. But I really do love like the Starlight Beacon and all of those characters that we really got to grow and love in Phase 1 and now in Phase 3. So hopefully they don't give up on it. I really hope that we get to see more High Republic.
So Leslie Headland sounds like she wants to incorporate more of the book characters, which potentially mm-hmm. could incorporate more of the book plot in season 2. So while I'm sure he'll reference to the Nihil and the Drangir, I don't think we'll see any of them until season 2.
Oh man, could you imagine a Drangir? Wait, do they confirm they're going to have a season 2 for Acolyte?
It's already been renewed for 2 more seasons.
There's going to be 3?
Yeah, I think she said she wants to make like a bunch of seasons.
That's crazy. But that means that they have something good enough, because that was piloted and enough people are like, this is good. Mm-hmm. But Disney was like, let's do more. That's good.
Yep. So
that gives me a lot of confidence in this project. I don't know why people would poop on it.
Again, I want to wait till it really comes out and I can get my hands on it and understand it. But the more I read, the more I'm interested in the product. So I'm excited to see where it goes and see what we get out of it. You know, that's pretty much where I'm at. I mean, there's plenty more stuff in the trailer. If you want to tweet at us or ask us, feel free. There's, you know, tons of minor little details.
There's a lot of really good action, which I really appreciated.
Yeah. Yeah.
The action scenes look good. So that was my biggest takeaway. It was like the choreography, the theme, the setting, the cinematography, like all of that. Like, I feel like that's what you really get out of a trailer. Like, I hate doing trailer breakdowns for like, this rock over here. This rock's great. I love this. No, it's like that I don't care about. I want the overall tone. I want to know, like, does this feel right? Does me sitting down, I've watched it three times now. Like, every time I sat down and watched it, like, this feels like Star Wars. Like, this is like, we're leaning into that, like we're not so much like in a samurai, but we're still seeing a lot of like the Asian influence in Star Wars that Lucas took from. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I really like that way. Like, we've done the Western. Like, we had that in Mandalorian, right? Like, Mandalorian, the Book of Boba Fett is very Western. It really leans on those tones and themes. But then there's a whole nother part to Star Wars that we have that is so beautiful. And I really like they're kind of leaning into this side a little bit more. We're getting more of that Asian influence, the Kung Fu. It just feels good. It feels right. I'm a big fan of it.
Same. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Star Wars and Scotch. Went over the Acolyte, new episode of Bad Batch. We'll be back next week talking about Bad Batch and a few other things. But make sure you check out Tim. He's Darkness429. He's not going to be live till the week. Are you streaming over the weekend? I don't want to say you are.
I will see how I feel. I want to do a stream on Saturday, but we'll see how I feel.
At minimum, you'll see him next Monday.
You'll definitely see me next week.
Darkness429. If you want to check me out, I'm Kevin, KMagic101 on Twitch. Kevin X Vision on Twitter, KMagic101 everywhere else. Feel free to stop by. Mainly Wednesdays, Fridays, and surprise streams. Those are my times. Ooh. So
surprise streams. What would you like surprise stream?
I went to do one for the watch parties, and then one of the kids threw up, so I couldn't do it.
Oh.
And then now they're getting rid of watch parties.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yay. So make sure you check us out. We're Star Wars Scotch or Star Wars and Scotch everywhere on the internet. We appreciate the support. Rate, review, subscribe. It helps us out immensely. And we appreciate you. We hope you have a wonderful week. And Tim?
May the force be with you.
Always.
Save big on brunch for mom. All in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.